Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Anderson's Paramount has a big date coming up. The Historic Theater's big annual fundraiser, Dancing Like the Stars, is January 30th. Tickets are on sale now. The website is theandersonparamount.org for more details. It's been about a year since Randy Hamill, a music veteran who formerly worked with the Gaithers at Pinebrook Studios, took the helm as executive director. We decided to check in with Ken De La Bastide, the veteran Anderson Herald Bulletin reporter, on the health of the Paramount. But first, let's hear from Randy Hamill about how they're doing.
Well, the Paramount Theater, if you talk to just about anyone in Anderson or Madison County, is cherished. It's considered a gem for the city. It might have been a little brighter gem, 15, 20 years ago when we had General Motors in town, had a lot more money to help support the events that came in here and help bring events in, period. But it tends to be the gathering place for Anderson and Madison County. I mean, every major event that goes on, usually there's either the event is here in the theater or there's an awards banquet or a luncheon afterward up in the ballroom. It's kind of the place to be, and it's great that we have a place like that here in Anderson. We have a new administration in the city now, so we have to get reacclimated to what we're going to be dealing with. The last administration was pretty good to us. They helped us with some finances when times were tough, and that's important. And the new administration has already talked to me two or three times, and I think we're going to have a good relationship as well. Some people say, if you can't make it on your own, you shouldn't be here. But you have to realize that a lot of the work we do, people that come through the door that want to rent the theater or put on an event, probably 75-80% nonprofit. Our expenses are staggering. It's an 85-86-year-old building now, constant repair. We did our renovation 20 years ago, and we still have a little bit of a debt to pay on that. In fact, a very large debt still to pay on that. And after 20 years, it's time to start touching that up again. I mean, there's nicks and scratches and dings. So we've got to start separate fundraising situations to start touching that kind of stuff up. We do buku weddings here all times of the year. We had one in Christmas holidays, and we're booked. We probably got 15 or 18 booked for next year already. A lot of people will do their ceremony in the theater, and then they'll have the reception up in the ballroom.
Architecturally, this is a place you won't see elsewhere.
That's right. I can't put an exclamation point on that. This is an Eberson Theater, which means Eberson was known for his atmospheric theaters. And if you've been in the Paramount, it's like being in a Spanish village. As you look around the room, you see all this architecture. You see stars in the sky. You see a sunset. The story behind the sunset and the sky is in 95, when we were finishing up the renovation, one of the painters was staying at one of the hotels out on the south end of town, and he'd had dinner of an evening. And when he walked out, the sun was setting, and he noticed the way the clouds were kind of striated across the sky. And within 3 days, he came in and painted the sky that we have in our theater. It's quite interesting. And we have special lighting that at different times, when you walk in, the theater is lit, and you see all the different globes and the different antiquity and stuff like that. And then as the show starts, as we dim the lights, you'll notice the sunset above the stage. And then over 5 to 6 minutes, it dims down too. But all the colors of a sunset are up above the stage. It's really quite well.
What can you tell us about the time when the theater was built and its role in the city? I mean, we know that places like Anderson had theaters downtown very commonly. Yes. Now they're out at the multiplexes and that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. If you're talking movie theaters, that's right. We just had a movie last week. We had in our auction, at our gala auction, we auctioned off movie nights for companies to bring in their staff and stuff, Went well. We have the second largest screen in Indiana, not counting IMAX. It's a monstrous screen. And we really aren't set up to do our 35 or 70 millimeter projectors anymore because it's so expensive, but we do really nice movies. The theater opened in 1929. And at the time, within 1 year after it opened, by 1930, there were 10 theaters right along Meridian Street here. 10 theaters of varying degrees. That Paramount at that time was primarily a theater that had people on stage, not necessarily showing movies. Within a year after the Paramount opened, about a year and a half after, they had to close. If you think about it, 1929, what happened in 1930 and 30, yeah. Yeah.
So this was born just before the Great Depression.
Yeah, it was born just before the Great Depression. And it was several years before it opened again, I think, and it's had six or eight different owners with varying degrees and lapse of time that it was closed. It was originally supposed to be a seven-story hotel with a theater in the middle and a ballroom on top. By the time they got to the point where they were ready to finish, it was a three-story building, not a hotel. We do have a ballroom on the third floor, and we do have a theater.
For folks who've not been to downtown Anderson for a while, can you kind of give us a progress report on, you know, cities like Anderson across Indiana and around the country are seeking to entice people to come live downtown, to build the residential side, to rebuild their downtowns?
Yes.
How are we doing here?
Well, we're not doing real well, but we were in that direction with the last administration, and from what I hear from the new administration, it's the same thing. We want a thriving downtown. What I used to say to people was we have the theater, and then we have law offices and banks. That's about, we don't have a major restaurant downtown. These are things we're looking for. And when Kevin Smith was the mayor, he used to say, if we lose the theater, we lose our downtown. It's the one thing that is a drawing card to downtown Anderson. And people do come from all over to this theater.
Randy Hamill, executive director of the Paramount Theater in Anderson, the historic entertainment venue preparing for its big fundraiser of the year on January 30th. Tickets for Dancing Like the Stars and other information about this year's schedule, along with information for volunteers and supporters, is online at theandersonparamount.org.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
It's one of Central Indiana's best-known local landmarks. The Paramount Theater in Anderson is amazing to see, built in 1929 and harkening back to the grand theaters that graced downtowns across the country. Now, two decades after a $3 million restoration, the theater is at something of a crossroads. In need of support, faced with funding challenges, the Paramount is holding its major fundraiser of the year on January 30th. Veteran reporter Ken De La Bastide has covered Anderson for the Herald Bulletin for decades.
Oh, the history of the Paramount in Anderson dates way back to the 20s when it first opened. It had a atmospheric theater ceiling to it, with birds and clouds, and, you know, the clouds moved across and the stars come out at night. I mean, it was a heck of a thing. Unfortunately, like theaters did all over the country, it fell on hard times. And when it fell on hard times, you know, people who owned it couldn't afford to maintain it. And it suffered a huge amount of damage to it, especially in the theater itself. A lot of water damage. It was really about ready to either be demolished or just closed permanently.
And there came a time when you could have lost this, and what happened to keep it alive?
Of course, nobody had been paying property taxes on it, and the county had ownership of it. And they put it up on tax sale. Nobody wanted to buy it. And the decision was made to demolish it. The county could not afford to maintain it, and it was going to be demolished. And it was set to be demolished. The bid date was set. Everything was ready to go, and I would say in the last 48 hours before those bids were accepted, a small group of local people stepped up and said they wanted to save the theater. And nobody thought it was going to happen, to be honest. How are you going to save it? Where are you going to get the money to repair it? It's just going to be, you know, remain an eyesore. But in the wisdom of the county council and the county commissioners, they agreed to sell it to them for a dollar. And they began the process of trying to restore it. I mean, they got volunteers to clean it up. It was in terrible shape. I remember the first time I went in there, you could see where the water's, you know, water from the leaking roof had damaged much of the theater itself. The barroom area was abysmal. The restrooms were terrible. I mean, it was in really bad shape. And when I went in there, it's like, there's no way this is going to happen. But, you know, through a lot of effort and a lot of community involvement, people cleaned it up. Woody Herman was the first concert they had when they reopened. There was quite a few people there, and they said they were going to restore it. And slowly but surely, they did. The guy I give a lot of credit to, Jim Abraham, who was involved in lumber business with his dad down in southern Indiana, probably did 90% of the work and the planning to restore it. I mean, he did all the gold leaf. He did all the you know, hired the contractors and brought them in, and people were buying seats, you know, to replace the seats, and it was just an exciting time, and they finally got it done. I think they spent like $3.5 million on it. Opened in 94, had the grand opening in 95, which I think what is 70 years after it first opened, and eventually got the ballroom open, and it's been there ever since. The problem, like any project like that, is once you borrow money, you got to pay that money back, and that's been a struggle for them. They need a guardian angel to step in and say, we're going to clear your debt, and a lot of efforts have been made to do that, and it's not been successful, and without the funding, it makes it very difficult for them to bring in the kind of programming that people want to see. They cannot take the risk of bringing in a name act and losing money on it. So what they have is a lot of local events. They do bring in some comedy. They've tried some other things. It's just difficult to do. I mean, you know, I've always said I'd like to do a film festival there. But how much would it cost to do like 4 Bogart movies in one day? I got the money laid out for the movies, and then I only get 100 people to show up. You're losing money.
Well, it looks like a great setting for, you know, a tribute to the golden age of filmmaking or something.
Oh, it'd be great. It would be absolutely tremendous. It has the largest theater screen in the state of Indiana, which is basically mostly unused. I mean, they do have movies once in a while, but it's just a tough struggle for them. And I keep hoping that they'll get that debt paid off and get some money back in reserves that they can start bringing in the kind of entertainment people want. I mean, I can remember years ago they brought in the Platters and Drifters on a Thursday night. You know, those guys were traveling between cities and stopped in Anderson, and they half filled the place. I mean, it was kind of a concert that a lot of people wanted to see. Great show. You know, they've had some plays there that I thought drew pretty well. There was a guy from Noblesville did a concert here, sold out. So I think the potential is there. It's just they can't take that risk of putting out $100,000 or whatever to have a band come in or a group come in and then not make it back, because then they're in a hole even worse.
How do you suppose the community regards the Paramount? I mean, as a symbol of history, an anchor to downtown?
I think the Paramount is viewed two different ways. It is an anchor in downtown, no doubt about it. I mean, it's in a perfect location in downtown Anderson. It's close to the library. You got a park right across the street. It would be nice to see some restaurants open in the area, and maybe a few other venues where people can go and watch a show and then go have dinner or a few drinks. I think that there's that aspect. The sad thing would be if it had been torn down, we'd have half a block that would be sitting empty. It'd be another parking lot. So it's there. The problem is the events they have tend to attract the same people. And, I mean, I'm 65 years old, 67 years old, but what they attract is people even older than I am. And those people are, you know, they're dying out. So they need to figure out a way to bring people my age and younger, and then even younger than me, to see the Paramount as a vital place for entertainment.
How is downtown Anderson doing?
Well, downtown, like a lot of downtowns, continues to suffer. I mean, if you come to downtown Anderson, a lot of empty storefronts, a few businesses are here, a lot of attorneys, a lot of business banks. We need more local businesses. We need more restaurants. It needs an identity. It needs something that makes it stand out. You know, people aren't going to come to downtown Anderson to buy items that they could buy out at a Walmart or a Meijer, or they want something that's unique. I look at Kokomo, which has totally turned around their downtown. If you've not been to Kokomo, it's incredible what they've done. But they have local businesses, local restaurants that have all located around the Courthouse Square, and it benefits the entire community. And they got housing now. They're getting a lot of housing.
There's an Elvis movie on the marquee sign.
Ken Delabastide, reporter for the Anderson Herald Bulletin, recalling the beauty and travails of the Paramount Theater. Just ahead, what it takes to run the place and the determination that supporters have for continuing the Paramount legacy.
Small town Saturday night, it's a small town Saturday night.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
What's the biggest challenge? Is it taking care of a structure like this? The maintenance needs must be endless, and these buildings, they take a lot of work.
You know, the biggest hill we climb every day is money. It's just a nature of the beast. For instance, we'll have a water pipe break, and the next thing you know, we've got a bill for water pipe, and we don't have budgets. We don't have enough money to have budgets. The foundation controls this thing. It's not owned by the city. We don't have a budget where we can say so much for heat. You know, our heat bills are $4,000 a month. Our water bills are $2,000-$3,000 a month. Gas bills, you know, water. It's just amazing. A building this size, and that's how they rate how much you pay, by the way. And we're working with the city. We're trying to figure out a way to do something about that because we can't be open every night. The other thing is, you talk about what people like and what they want. They'll say, well, we need to have more things at the theater. And I agree with that. We're trying to. But to get the quality talent that we want to bring in here, you've got to have at least a 50% deposit. And if you bring in somebody that's, say, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for the concert, then you also have to have the 50% deposit, but you also have to have a ticket price that's above $15 or $20. And I'm not sure, we're finding out that Anderson really isn't used to paying $15, $20 for a ticket. So we're caught. So what we do is we go out and find sponsors and say, you know what? If you could front us $5,000 and if this other company could front us $5,000, we could bring in a name person and we could pay for the talent, we could fill the seats, and we could make money. We need around $20,000 a month, and we only have three people on staff, and you know we're not making that much. So it's the combination of the building being old, needing help constantly. We now have a grip on our HVAC. We got with a company that said, we're going to work with you. And they came in and they just went through the whole building with the air conditioning and the heating and found a ground zero. And now we know from whence to go forward. And it's so good because in the summer, if we have an event, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking, I wonder if the air conditioners are going to work. And in the winter, I think, oh, is the heat going to work? We're covered. This company has done very well for us, and we're just tickled pink that they've taken us under their wing like that.
Can you talk about how you got here and your background?
Well, my background is very diversified. I used to tell people I'm self-unemployed because a lot of times I was unemployed, but predominantly a music background. I've been a producer and arranger and a writer and an orchestrator, and I had ownership with Bill and Gloria Gaither and Sandy Patty up here at when it was Pine Brook Studios. So for 15, 20 years, that was what I did. I'd go to other cities and record, but my home base was in Alexandria, and we did some phenomenal things there.
This all started for you back in, you were a soldier in the Vietnam War.
Well, that's not really where it started before then. I mean, I came to Anderson College. I was pre-med, and I was going to go into psychiatry. And ironically, I ended up in the music business, so that speaks volumes right there, not to offend anyone. It's amazing because I studied pre-med, I did take piano lessons on and off for 8 years between the age of 4 and 12. But I got to the point where my piano teacher just said, you know, I can't help you anymore because I played a lot by ear. I'd hear something and I could play it, which made it a little bit tougher to learn to play music and read music, but I did, and I orchestrated and everything else. But out of college, I got drafted. Wham, and I was in Vietnam. And even while I was in Vietnam, about my 7th month, they pulled me out of the field and said they'd heard I was an entertainer and they wanted me to entertain troops. President Nixon was pulling 1,000 troops a day out of Vietnam, and they'd come in out of the field and they'd fight and they'd get drunk, and he says, we need somebody to entertain these troops so they don't kill each other before they go home. So that's what I did to finish my tour in Vietnam.
Playing music?
Yeah, absolutely. We would go, Vietnam was in 5 sections. It was called 1 through 5, top to bottom. I Corps, which is the I Corps, was closest to North Vietnam. And we played in 2, 3, 4, and 5. 5 core was Vung Tau, which is like the French Riviera of Southeast Asia. So we'd get on our Doosan half and load up all our Fender equipment and go right down Highway 1, and we'd play on the beach, and we'd go back into Saigon and do a television show, and then we'd go out to fire support base. It was harrowing at times, but it was a real experience. It really was. And when I came back, I went on a national tour. Then I was the director of entertainment for Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida for a little while. And then I ended up back up here in Anderson or Alexandria with the studio, and I stayed there.
So you've got some good acts coming up this spring.
We're looking at acts. We haven't booked some of them yet because of the money situation. Okay. We have things like there's a big Boy Scout banquet where they're honoring Tom Snyder. That's a private situation. And then, of course, our big wing dig is January the 30th. It's Dancing Like the Stars. This is our biggest fundraiser. And it's a situation where we go out and find local, we'll call them celebrities, and then we hook them up with professional dancers, and they compete just like on television. And it is a hoot. We have a ball that night. It's amazing how the city takes hold, especially our lot of companies. For instance, both hospitals, they'll always have one of their people dancing, which is great competition, which is great for fundraising. And that's our biggest fundraiser.
Randy Hamill, executive director of the Paramount Theater in Anderson. Their 8th annual big fundraiser, Dancing Like the Stars, is January 30th. 13 local celebs and their professional dance partners will perform in the show with a VIP party to follow. Tickets are still available. The website is theandersonparamount.org, and their phone is 765-642-1234. By the way, you have to see this place to believe it. It's known as an atmospheric theater. Walking down the aisles, you're surrounded by what appears to be a Spanish courtyard, complete with the facades of buildings, unique statuary, a night sky complete with hundreds of twinkling stars. It's worth the admission just to get to see the place, and maybe to help support a beautiful piece of central Indiana history. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you will join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.